born into a poor Mississippi black family in 1874, into a family of freed slaves, Anna Knight would rise above her humble beginnings to make a massive impact in the Adventist Church, both in America and further afield. At that time, where she lived, there were no schools for blacks, and she wasn't allowed to attend the white schools, but she would volunteer to do chores for her white neighbors if they would let her look at their books. She had a massive appetite for knowledge, and despite this serious disadvantage, she set out to learn. One day, she saw an advert in a magazine that if the reader sent in 10 cents, they would be added to a list to receive free books. She saved up her 10 cents over time and sent in to receive the free samples. Of the 40 or so people who responded, one of them was a Seventh-day Adventist and sent her a big stack of magazines and books. Edith Embry sent her a Science of the Times every week and over time built a relationship up with her. She decided to keep the Sabbath, which wasn't easy in a home where everyone needed to work, but she did not waver, even though she came under pressure for it. Soon after, Edith sent her a copy of the book Steps to Christ, and Anna determined to be baptized. And Sir Edith Embry wrote to the Southern Missionary Tract Society and told them about Anna. There were not many churches in the South, let alone organized conferences, and the nearest church was in Graysville, Tennessee, 382 miles away. This did not deter Anna, and she got baptized. After this, she would be mentored by Elder and Mrs. Chambers, and then she would go on to study first at Mount Vernon Academy in Ohio, and then at Battle Creek College in Michigan, and train to be a nurse. After graduation, she returned back down to Mississippi and started a school in the same town that had given her trouble when she started to keep the Sabbath. By now, they saw the benefit of education for the younger children, and the ill feelings disappeared. At the 1901 GC session, she felt a call to the mission field. She made arrangements for the work back home in Mississippi, and then she headed on what was perhaps her most unique work, the first female missionary to India. She led many people to accept Jesus Christ as their savior during her 6 years ministering in India. She returned home on what was supposed to be a furlough, but ended up establishing another school in Mississippi, and then in 1909, she would be asked to open a sanitarium in Atlanta, Georgia, to establish the medical missionary work amongst the African Americans in the South. She went on to pioneer education work for blacks in the South, working for 6 years at the Southeastern Union Conference. She would later work for the Southern Union whilst living here at what is now Oakwood University, but it seems she spent nearly all her time traveling by train, visiting the various schools and pushing the work forward. By 1932, she served as the Associate Secretary for the Education, Home Missionary, Missionary Volunteer, and Sabbath School Departments at the Southern Union Conference Colored Department. In the last year of her life, at the age of 98, she served as the President of the National Colored Teachers Association, and in that same year, the General Conference awarded her the Medallion of Merit Award from the Education Department. She lived a life of principle, working tirelessly both at home and abroad to share the message of Jesus that she had learned at such a young age. She lived a life for others, rising above the disadvantages and prejudices that she faced. The legacy of her life will be a long and rich one that lasts to this day, and she is a pioneer worthy of remembrance. The church today needs men and women like Anna Knight, who will go into unentered areas, who will start schools, who will be a missionary and share the message of Jesus, whether that's at home or whether that's in an unentered area. If God is calling you to such a work, then harden not your heart and go where He calls.